Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters who always help me. I have these little helpers all the time. They tell me, Lord, when the light's green and when I have to go. And Lord, I thank you for that. They tell me when I have to turn right or when I have to turn left. And I thank you for my little helpers. Have you ever heard that? Oh my. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for fun. We know that you love to us to have fun with each other, and we do. We have a lot of fun with each other, and we thank you for the joy that you placed in our hearts and the love that we have for each other too. And thank you, Lord, that Pat got to make it tonight. Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. And we thank you for it, Father. Lord, have us let us be very diligent in listening for your voice to lead us tonight, Lord, into the things that you would have us to go into. And I praise you, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing with the deep state. You're getting them out of the way. And I praise you for that. I'm not just talking about the United States either. It's all over the world. And we're praising you, Father, for that. And we thank you, Lord, for my wonderful and mighty provisions here shortly in Jesus' name to get this gospel out and to spread the good news. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish in this little group right here in Jesus' name and those that are listening. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer that they'd like to pray? Lord, I thank you for giving President Donald Trump a clarity of thought and discernment. And all those things, Lord, that he needs, the tools that he needs to do the job that you want him to do. And we thank you for doing that for President Trump and all of his cabinet as well. And Lord, when he talks to world rulers, that they would listen and heed the things that he would say. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Folks, there's a lot to pray about. There's a lot to pray about if you've looked at any of the news at all. Okay, I got a song. I'll just go ahead, Julie.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're in sovereign control of all the things that are going on in the world, and we can put our faith and trust in you, and you can give us your peace and show us how to pray for these things that we see. And you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy, all the curse, and all the powers and the principalities, and all these rulers of darkness that are ruling over these countries, Lord. And we bind up all of the tactics of the enemy, their plans of the deep state for false flag events, for anarchy and destruction and violence and lawlessness and all the slander and all the hate and faction that's out there trying to dissemble and cause problems for Trump and the administration there, Lord. And we thank you that that's been done with, it's been dealt with, and it's been commanded that there won't be any more harassment there and confusion, that as Michael prayed for a sound mind and wisdom and discernment, that that's there. Thank you, Lord, for keeping a hedge of protection all around President Trump and his family and those in his administration so they can do their job and do it and fulfill every plan and purpose that you have for them. This is our Cyrus Trump, and you have great plans for him, and he's doing a great job. And I thank you, Lord, for reminding us always to be praying and interceding for him and covering him in prayer along with the man child. And because that's that parallel there, the Trump and man child. What's happening in the government and what's happening in the spiritual realm. and that the angels are hearkening unto our voice and when we pray. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down all this weather warfare, modifications in our weather. And I pray against this forecast for this big heat dome, is what they are calling it, for the next, I think it's starting next week for like 2 weeks. It's up in the triple digits in a lot of areas, and it's all through the Southwest, through the Midwest, all the way up, even up into Canada, which is totally not normal. And a lot of activity going on in the Gulf and around Texas is a target area, and we bind all of that and we command all that to fail. We thank you, Lord, for normalizing the weather for the season that we are in. We forbid all damage and destruction and whatever their evil plans are. We command failure to that all in the name of Jesus. I pray blessings on our weather, Father, because you give us good weather. You man tries to manipulate, Lord, but you oversee it all and you use our faith, and angels are on it. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Is everybody in one accord on those? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
So just a question. Hi, everybody. What is everybody thinking related to the potential division in the administration's response to this Epstein situation? Because I know that there's obviously been a major deep state picture having been painted, with that brush for a long, long time, and it's appears as though it's getting shoved under the rug, or what, however you want to say it. But how should we pray for Trump and Trump administration to address it? Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, the thing of it is, Trump told him to go ahead and turn everything loose. So that just did away with everything. There's no argument now. They're gonna turn it all loose, from what I understand.
Right,
Trump
but
told Bondi to turn it all loose.
yeah, I question, I guess I question how much is there to even turn loose, because I mean, if you're looking at the way that system functions, there's probably, I'm going to say there's probably not a whole lot of documentation to certify and confirm certain things that were happening. In other words, that type of activity of coercion through through compromise. And that sort of situation, other than being able to release the evidence of the tools of his trade, so to speak, you might say the videos or the documentation that he may have had. There's you're not. Probably not going to see a whole lot, let's just say, through the FBI or CIA, or the FBI is not going to have like a lot information, a lot of information that's going to incriminate anybody, that sort of thing. So it makes me wonder what type of information are they going to release, you know?
That they would know their and that they would come out of it. But that would be the best case scenario for them. But that's all still in God's hands, and we talked to Michael talked about that. So
The Lord is sovereign, as you know, and he's got it all in his hands, and he's just working it all out. And we're going to see the things fulfilled that he's told us here shortly, very shortly, looks like. So praise God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Because you know there was a lot of victims there too, young victims of bad stuff, and they this should tear on their hearts too. So you know, and good could come out of it. Glory to God.
Yeah, it looks like, according to what we're reading in certain things, I think it's Operation Disclosure, is that this thing is supposed to take off here in the next day or so. The 3 days of darkness, and then the 10 days of darkness, which the 10 days is when they start revealing everything on TV. Ben, go ahead.
I just want to thank God for setting free all those kids that are getting kidnapped. Lord Father God, I thank you
Amen.
so much for exposing these people that are kidnapping them and setting these kids free, for helping the people that are looking for them. Father, give them a divine wisdom to just find where they are, whether they're using maps or whether you just pull them to where they need to, Father. We
Amen.
thank you so much for setting these captives free, not just physically, but spiritually, Father.
Amen.
And all the people that are evil, and all the people that have this conviction and finally realize that what they're doing is evil, that you bring them to repentance, Father, and that you can give them this awesome testimony that they've been set free from this cult that has been doing satanic rituals, Father. Thank you, Father, for setting free these children that are innocent and these women that are innocent. Thank you, Father, for doing this for them. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen. And Lord,
Praise.
we as Ben said, setting them free completely in mind and body in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Some of them been in some pretty rough stuff. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, yeah, let's keep those kids in our prayers. All right. Let me just review a little few things. Have y'all heard? You've heard about the med beds, haven't you? I know Julie has and Missy. Y'all have. Okay. Well, they got those things working now. They got them online now, and they're giving testimonies of people getting healed of wonderful things. Golly, it was. There's a list of them in Operation Disclosure this morning that people were getting healed of cancer, all kinds of things. I don't remember all of them, but. It was pretty amazing, pretty amazing. But it's not as amazing as God's healing. Because you don't have to hunt up a med bed. All you got to do is hunt up God, and He's right here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But for those that aren't Christians and don't believe, you know, that's an amazing thing. It's all done by frequency, it's not done by any kind of drug or physical thing other than some kind of frequency that they put out there. That's amazing. Tesla came up with it, believe it or not. Nikola Tesla, wonderful inventor. I don't know if y'all know this, but he would sleep. When he's asleep, the Lord would give him dreams about how to do a lot of this stuff. And show him how to do it. He'd get stuck on something, and he'd ask the Lord, "Lord, show me what I need to do," and he'd get it. He was very, very. He was using a smart man, a smart God, wasn't he? He was. What was he? Serbian? I think he was. think he was. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer. Yeah, Pat.
So this is on, well, I'll just say it. One of our employees in our company, we assume, we think he got in a car wreck, and he things are a little, unknown right now because I talked with his sister and I talked with his daughter and they're asking questions. There's no information. They don't know where his car is at. They don't know where his phone is at. He was just brought into the hospital and but he is in very serious shape. He is in an induced coma right now because excuse me, they had to remove his spleen and remove part of his bowels so there he had a blood infection, etc. I don't remember what they call it, septic shock or something like that. But anyway, because of all this was happening, he is definitely in bad shape. So I was praying and asking the Lord, how do I pray? How do I pray for him? I don't believe he's. Well, he didn't give any kind of an indication that he was a Christian. So I just asked the Lord to lead me, but I had to go over to his house where his sister is. She's there at his house right now, kind of babysitting his dogs or whatever, that sort of thing. I had to go over there and pick up some packages that were shipped to him for our company. And so when I went over there, I basically listened to her story, and she was, I'm going to say fairly distraught and disturbed about the whole thing, etc. And so I just asked her, "Do you want me to pray for him?" And she said, "Absolutely." And so I just reached out and I grabbed her hand and I commanded healing to come back into his body and his eyes of his understanding to be opened up so that he could see Jesus and know, and have the opportunity to accept him, to accept Jesus as a savior. And I commanded a couple other things. I don't remember exactly what it was, but in the name of Jesus and let it set. And then she broke down in tears and was saying that this very thing happened to her close to 30 years ago, where a car came out of nowhere and broadsided her car, and she ended up in the hospital and then had to be, she was, down and bedridden in I think in her sister's house or whatever for 3 years. So I reached out and I asked the Lord to heal her as well, and I touched her and commanded healing on her as well, and put her in the Lord's hands, and told her to keep me in touch and ask her to, reach out to me and let me know what is happening, that type of thing. But anyway, I'm not going to say I'm struggling, but I'm going to say there's a certain lack of clarity that I have related to that, to healing and commanding healing, etc. But I'm trusting the Lord for, as David was teaching in his last message, a loophole of mercy, and that he would have mercy upon this family and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, even just talking about that and just reminding me. And Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that you are able to guide and lead and direct us in your path. Every one of us were not saved and we were lost wandering in the world before you reached out and touched us. So I'm asking you, Lord, to do the same to Drew and to his sister. And Lord, I just thank you for your grace. Send forth the angels to minister, to direct, and to just open up eyes and heal bodies where they need to be healed, Lord. And I thank you for it. I just trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And I break the power of Satan that's trying to keep them from out of the kingdom right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for opening up their eyes and ears of understanding of the truth of the gospel right now. And I praise you, Father, to your glory that this young man is going to be healed and his wife, or is this his wife or his sister?
His sister.
And his sister. Bring them into the kingdom, Lord. And I grant repentance and bring them in there, Lord. And I thank you for a complete healing that he would have to jump up and praise you, Father, and
Yes.
that it would be a mighty man of
Yes,
God,
Lord.
mighty
Yes, Lord.
man of God. And
Yes,
everybody would
you,
wonder what
Jesus.
happened, what happened. He'll tell them Jesus did it. And the whole hospital would
Praise you,
come to you,
Jesus.
Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, for a
Praise
great,
Jesus.
wondrous, glorious
He called.
healing for this young man in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, with our faith, I believe it's happening right now in the spiritual realm to come to pass in the physical realm. And I praise you for it,
Amen.
Father. You are healed, young man. You are healed in Jesus' name. And not only are you healed, you're saved by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this young man giving you the glory, Lord, giving you the glory that it would be a supernatural healing. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we
Praise you,
all believe in
Jesus.
one accord that this man,
Praise
this
you,
young
Jesus.
man, is healed, delivered, and he is
Praise you,
set free
Jesus.
in Jesus' name. But he'll get up and walk up out of there. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that the next time that Pat talks to this sister, that he just tells her, said, don't you ever, ever give up on this young man because we have prayed the prayer of faith and he's coming out of there healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you,
Praise
Lord.
you,
Glory be to
Jesus.
God.
Thank you,
Glory
Lord.
to Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for this miracle, Lord. Anybody
Amen.
else want to pray? Whew. Well, I felt Jesus all over me. Thank you, Lord, all over y'all too. I see him everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. My. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray for my good buddy John again. In the name of Jesus, right now, I break the power of the stronghold that's in John to keep and trying to keep him out of the kingdom. I break your power over him right now, and I command this devil to leave him right now in Jesus' name. And I command that wall to come down around his mind at keeping him from coming to you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that the Lord of the harvest right now is sending someone that John would listen to and bring him into the kingdom before it's too late. And I praise you for it, Father, because I know you're going to do it, because we pray the prayer of faith and we believe. Y'all believe? Amen. I thank you for it. And I thank you that John and this
Amen.
young man too is going to come into the kingdom. And we're going to, they're going to, that John, I'm going to meet John when he gets up there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else? Whoo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My, my, my. Look at that baby. That's a happy baby. She got a set of lungs too, boy. I'm going to tell you. Go ahead, Julie.
I have a testimony,
Okay.
and even in a prayer request. I shared this with Missy and Michael after it happened Tuesday night. But Tuesday night, I was getting hit with all kinds of doubt and disappointment and discouragement about something I was believing God for. And our subject matter was faith, and endurance on Tuesday night. That's what we were talking about. And I had this enemy just kept coming against my mind. Well, I'll try to make this story short, so bear with me. So I ordered a package, and it came from, the East Coast, and I ordered a couple of weeks ago. And normally, when I've ordered from this company before, they've used USPS, but this time it was coming UPS. So I'm like, okay, well, great. It's come right to my door. I didn't want to have to go out to my mailbox to get it. So I'm like, thank you, Lord. And I knew I was pretty sure at the time I got permission. I could, I was asking the Lord if it wasn't a need, but it was something I wanted. And I felt like I had his okay on that, So anyhow, it's in the mail. It's coming to me. And I'm sure it was coming like, it probably took like 3 days. Well, it was supposed to be here on this past Monday. And I'm like, well, Lord, you're in control of all the mail. It's like, you could even have it here by Saturday. I know you can. You can have it here early. And of course, then I got a notification that it was in California on Friday. So I'm like, yes. So it has to go through their distribution center locally here. And it was there Saturday morning. And then I saw it was out for delivery. And I'm like, yes, it's going to be here Saturday. Well, it didn't come Saturday. And even though I prayed, I asked the Lord, make sure the gate was open. Where I live is a secured complex, and we have gates, and they open on remote control. It's not like you have a code you have to push to get, you can give it to somebody. So I just prayed and asked the Lord, and I commanded my angels, said, now make sure the gate's open when the UPS truck gets here, because on the weekends it's not the normal guy. Well, the package didn't arrive, and I got notification it would be, out, the next business day. So I'm like, okay, Monday. Well, that's regular Monday through Friday, whatever, that the UPS, they have a remote control. The regular driver has a remote control to open up the gate. So when he gets there, so I'm like, okay, no problem. The day came and went, and I'm like, I didn't get my package. I'm like, what's going on? And so they said they'll make one more attempt, and we have a third attempt, so it'll be here. They'll send it on Tuesday. And I'm like, so all day Tuesday, I'm like, okay. And doubt was trying to come in my mind, like, the enemy was trying to accuse me. You were outside of God's will. You weren't supposed to order that. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm standing on my faith, and I believe it's going to be here today, and it's going to be here today. And it hadn't shown up, and it hadn't shown up. And it was supposed to be delivered by 7, end of the day, by 7 p.m. is usually what they say, by end of the day. Well, that's apparently when their offices close at 7 o'clock. Well, it didn't show up. It didn't show up. So here it is. It's 7 o'clock my time when this meeting ends. And I was just like, Lord, I just kept casting all these doubts down. It's like, I know what I prayed, and I commanded, the angels to make sure that gate was open. UPS got here, and I didn't see any notification on the app other than it was still out for delivery. And I'm like, well, this is weird. This is late. But I just gave it to the Lord. It's like, it's yours. You're in control. And I just believe you, Lord. It's, the day's not over. I don't know what's going on, but its package is still going to be here. And I went back and I just started praising the Lord. And I was listening to that song we played Tuesday night. I have all those little kids praying Jesus is Lord. And I was just singing that. And then the next thing I know, my phone goes off. And it's my, I got notification my package was delivered. Well, I didn't hear him deliver it, but sometimes they'll ring the doorbell. So I'm like, yes. And I looked out and there it was. So I went out to the end of my walkway here and I looked out and I couldn't see the driver, but I could see the truck. He was parked and I stood there and waited. And then I saw him. He was obviously pretty quick, but he went back into his truck and got another package. And when he came out, I yelled at him. I said, hey, UPS, and I'm waving at him. And he's like, yeah, And he came over and he started talking to me. And it's not my normal driver. So the long story short part is he had a he their packages, whatever, got he couldn't get to the warehouse and get the packages till after 10. So which was why it was late. So I'm like, well, it was supposed to be here, Saturday, and it didn't get here Monday. And then he told me, he goes, well, your normal delivery guy is injured. And I'm on this route now. I'm taking his route for the next 3 months. But he didn't know what was wrong with them. And I was just like, I was just thanking God. This guy was so kind. And he's like, don't worry. He's like, I'll make sure you get your packages. And I said, well, they said the third attempt, they're going to send it back to the shipper. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. He goes, no, I don't let that happen. He goes, I'll make sure you guys get your packages. He just went out of his way. It was really kind. He goes, if you have any packages you want shipped UPS, you just text me, you contact me, we exchange phone numbers. And he was just out, went out of his way to be kind, helpful and kind. And then we just talked about the changes I've had in management here, and that was why he couldn't get in, on but Monday there was a different guy. His route was scheduled as like Tuesday through Saturday. Anyhow, we had a nice long talk, and he was this real blessing to me. His name is Aaron. It's spelled Aaron, it's Aaron, but he pronounced it Aaron. So I pray blessings over him later, and I just lift up our UPS delivery guy, our normal guy, and his name is Mario. I don't know what kind of injury he is, but I pray with Missy and Michael Tuesday night. If you all would just agree that whatever injury he has, that God do a quick healing into his body. He's a blessing. He's a, UPS. I have, they're just great. I have just a lot of respect for them for the work that they do and going out of their way and the problems they have to deal with and all the stuff, the hassles they have and traffic. And I pray blessings on him and a quick healing for Mario, and that you get all the glory, God. And I just thank you for this guy, Aaron. And Aaron is a light bringer, and I just pray blessings on him, Father, and that you bring him into the kingdom. I have no idea his religion or anything like that. I don't know if I'll have an opportunity to share anything other than, just pray for him myself. But I just pray blessings over him too today and always, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for showing such favor to me. And endurance in my faith in that trial, even though the enemy was attacking me on all sides with all kinds of doubt and condemnation and everything he could throw at me. And I stood my ground. It's like, I believe that package is mine. It's supposed to be here, God, and it's going to be here. And it was, even it didn't come in my time, but it got here. And I just praise and thank the Lord. You're awesome and you're faithful. And thank you for all these trials that we go through. And just how much you love us. It's just the little things. So it says a little thing, just little things. But how much even greater the big things that you'll do for us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. For I had a similar thing happen to me the other day when I had something ordered. It was supposed to have been here Saturday. Saturday delivery. Saturday came and went. Sunday came and went. And then Monday it showed up. So it's okay. The guy told me, said the Athens, where it came from, said the UPS store burned up. I said, oh my. So they're having to come out of Maryville with it. So anyway, we got it. That was this microphone. Okay, anyone else? Well, I'm getting set up like a podcaster, Pat. I kind of look like Joe Rogan, don't I? Except I got hair. All right. Anybody else? Except he's got a foul mouth. Okay, anyone else? But he makes millions of dollars.
God's gonna save him and all these guys that have that,
Amen.
that potty mouth, he's gonna save them all.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. All right, anyone else?
Michael.
Hey, Joe.
Morning to you all. I'll try to talk slowly that you can understand. I got a praise report. A couple of weeks ago, one of these old ladies came to me with a cell phone, and well, I took the cell phone to try to fix it. I prayed about it, but I asked the Lord for wisdom to fix the cell phone. So I couldn't do it, so I think the Lord led me to go to the shop and let the guy fixes the phone. And it wasn't even about 5 seconds or 10 seconds when he finished we fixed the phone. It was just something you do on the phone. I asked him what to do. He says, no, you just do something. So he doesn't want to tell me. So I said, oh, that's fine. You pay the fee and we get back. It's fine. But last night he came to me again. It was the same problem with a phone. So I just prayed, Lord, the guy just fixed it in a few seconds. So you can do it for me. You can help me with fixing it. The first thing I do was, I do, well, the Lord lead me to do, and the phone was fixed. So we don't have to go into the shop to fix it. The Lord helped me last night. The guy who did that fixer shop guy, who fixed the cell phone. It was it took about 10 seconds. So my Lord gave me last night. And after I prayed, it wasn't even 5 seconds and that phone was fixed. So the Lord helped me. So after prayer, the Lord helped me of fixing that phone. Thank you, Father.
Did he give you a word of knowledge, Joe? Did he show you in a vision how to do it?
No, I just remember when I was at the shop, the guy took the phone, he held it upright somehow and he pressed something. I'm not sure what he did do. I was thinking about that and asked the Lord, if he can fix a phone, you can fix a phone. He's a technician, it's his job, so we pay for money, but Lord, you can fix this phone. Now, first thing I did was pressing something on the side. Double thing. I'm not sure how it is because it was I'm not trying to explain it because I cannot explain it. Just pressing it and the phone was working. The old lady started crying. She says, yeah, that's the Lord we serve. Trust the Lord. Always go to the Lord first. That's it. Thank you, Lord, for helping me and guiding me. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God's so good. He is so good. It seems like every cycle here that it looks like we just pray and believe about provisions for everybody. And it might trickle in here and there and here and there, but when the time comes, it's all there. Praise God. That's the wilderness. Okay, Debbie, I didn't see you come in, but I'm glad you're here.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad to be here. excuse me. I had an interesting day today, so I wanted to share with that. But first, I was with Angelica today, and we were together for a little while. Got some lead, and we were talking about a lot of things. But then we got into about the rain, how much we need rain. We prayed for rain, and came against the enemy holding back the rain, and came against any flooding, things like that. So when I got home, I went for a walk. And that's something else I'm going to share. But when I came back from my walk, Angelica called and said, "It's raining." It was raining in her place, but it was sprinkling here, just barely. I went outside, so I better throw up my the windows on my car, so I go out, and it wasn't doing anything. When I got out of the car, it started sprinkling. When I got in the house, it stopped. So I came in the back door, went out to the front deck, and it stopped already. It just sprinkles are laying on the deck, and then a few minutes later, they're drying up. I said, well, they're drying up now. So we just get prayed for rain and commanded the rain to come. We needed the rain, found the enemy. And then wasn't then the start the clouds started coming together, and there was this one really bright cloud, though. It was really something else. It looks like it's gonna rain, but it was this bright cloud up there. It was so pretty. And so anyway, just declaring that it's gonna rain. So it started raining really hard, really hard. And then just coming against the enemy for using no flooding. This is gonna be a good rain that we need. And it was. And I just come against the enemy and telling him that you didn't start this rain, God did, you're not gonna stop it, he's gonna stop it when he wants to stop it. And so it wasn't long after it rained for a good time, maybe 15 minutes or so, maybe longer, I'm not sure actually. And then all of a sudden just started the sun came up somewhere. I just saw a sun on the lawn. The rain started stopping, and then there's sun on the lawn. Then all of a sudden there's a rainbow up there. And I just felt like it was back and forth with angelic about this rain. And I said, I think the Lord just that rainbow and the way this happened, just let me know that yeah, it was his timing, his starting and his stopping. So it's just kind of cool the way things happen like that. But on my walk, I stopped and taking a walk. This one house that we get eggs from, Tony and Becky are their names. And he has diabetes. And I've shared him for prayer before, I think I have. He had a foot, a toe removed several few months back, and it was laid up for quite a while. And he finally got up and walking around again and doing stuff in his garage as a mechanic. And so I saw him out there today. And I heard him working in the garage, and I finished my walk and came back around and stopped over there. And he said, well, you're just in time. I just got this tire off. He was all sweaty. He was really working hard. And then I had egg cartons for them and some scraps for the chickens. That's what we do for eggs in exchange for eggs. He's like, I got some eggs for you. So he goes in and gets the eggs and comes back out. And we chatted just a minute, and I started leaving. He goes, oh, by the way, he said, I'm going to have another surgery on my foot and be laid up again. And it was like, because I've had little things times before with him where I've said, well, we're praying for you, Tony, and I'm praying for you, and a few things like that. So it was like when he told me that, he wanted me to know because he wanted prayer. I could tell he wanted prayer. And so I asked him if he would mind if I prayed for him. He said, no, not at all. I said, can I lay my hand on your arm? He said, go ahead. So I did, and I prayed for him, and it was just really good. And when I was done and we're saying bye, he just kept giving this look. He had this kind of a lingering look, like he received it. Like he received it. You could tell he received it. And it was just amazing. So I want to pray for him. I didn't pray for him as far as praying against the diabetes. I don't know if there's any Christianity in their lives or have been in their lives or not right now. But so I want to pray for him. And I prayed for the surgery that would go well, that God would do marvelous works. I did pray against any mishaps and anything, things going wrong. It was good time of praying with him. But I want to just pray for them come against that diabetes and you can often grieve me for him and pray that they can become they are the Lord's. So Lord, I just pray for Tony and Becky, Lord God, and I thank you for the interactions I've had with them, and Brandy has had them too with him. And we just pray, God, that pray for healing. Come against this diabetes in his body. We bind that spirit of infirmity, Lord God. And I just want to claim him. And Beck and his wife Becky, Lord, for you, Jesus, and pray that you, God, would just to do a work in their lives, and they're using all this that's going on with Tony, Lord, to open them up to calling upon you, God, knowing their need for you, Lord. I thank you that he wanted prayer. I could tell he wanted prayer, Lord, and I thank you for that, God, and I thank you that he received it. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to try and put his faith in it in the best way he can, Lord. And I pray for other opportunities either through me or Brandy, Lord, to really have some good talks with them, God, and let them know their need for Jesus, Lord God, and all that Jesus has done at the cross, and that by his stripes he was healed, Lord. And I just thank you, God, that you're doing a work in them, and I claim them for your kingdom, Lord. I just believe that you want to do a work in their lives. So thank you, Father, that you are going to bless this time with Tony, Lord. I pray that I pray you reverse this diabetes in his body, that doctors will see a difference, Lord God. And I pray that as far as the surgery and as whatever's going to happen, I don't know what they want to do, but God, that you would just be in this, Lord God. And I pray that with him, that it would be something astounding, the doctors. I thank you that you're going to do that, Lord, because you answer our prayers, Lord. And I think you're going to do it to be glorified. You're going to, name's going to be glorified to Tony, Lord, Becky, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was one. Then I went to Dollar General. Actually, I was, before all this, I went to stop at Dollar General, and there was a woman in there. She was the checker. She was she kept bending over with much pain. She had pain. She's taking my checking out my stuff, but I could tell she was in pain. So I asked her. I said, "Are you in pain?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Where?" And she goes, "It's in between my shoulder blades." Ah, oh, she's moaning and groaning, you know. I said, "Oh, can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yeah." So I pray. I reached my hand just to the counter, but she put her hand by me. So I laid my hand on her hand, and I just prayed for her. And so, her name is Dora, and but with her, I just felt more open to really bind the pain in her body, to bind that spirit of pain and infirmity, whatever's causing it, and declared that by the stripes of Jesus she was healed, and that she would call upon the name of the Lord. And she was thankful for the prayer too. So I want to pray for Dora. Okay, so Lord, I pray for Dora, Lord, that I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray for her, Lord. And I pray that she will remember this, Father God, and that pain is gone from her, God. And I thank you for the testimony that's going to come from her lips, Lord God, if I would see her again, Lord, that pain left, and that she is healed from whatever the cause was, Father God. I just thank you for the opportunity to pray for her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use this and draw her into yourself too, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, just all these people that we pray for, Lord, I pray that you're touching everyone's lives, whether we minister to, that all of us speak to and minister to and pray for, God, that you're going to linger in their minds, Father God, and you're going to remind them of those instances, Father, and they're going to realize, God, that they need you, and that they're going to turn to you, Father God. So I thank you, Lord. Help us to continue to be bold, Lord, and to minister and pray to people when we have a chance, especially to know your voice and your leading, Lord. And so I thank you for your leading today, Lord God, and what you do with the weather too, Father. Give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you that before she got home, she was healed in
Amen.
Jesus' name. And she is right now just praising your love for her, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord, for Debbie's boldness to get out there and pray for these people that need it. And we praise you for that,
Yeah,
Father.
it's all you,
Praise be to
Jesus.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, Julie.
And Father, thank you that you'll get the glory, that they know it was you and
Amen.
that it was answered prayer, and it wasn't anything that they did. It wasn't anything they did. It wasn't any pain medicine. It wasn't anything like that. And that you answer prayers because you are real. And all you ask is us to come to you and believe and ask, and you shall receive. And I thank you, Lord, for the boldness to testify and to pray and to do that with people that you bring into our lives, God, because we are your witnesses. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, you said it says all through the New Testament that you had compassion upon him, and that compassion you've given us, and we praise you, Father, that that's what healed that lady. It's your stripes on your back and the compassion that you have for him, the love that you have for him. In Jesus' name. All right, Missy.
The other day by chance, I say, I came across this, I was looking at something else, and then there was this other, how you have all these other videos that come up after that or whatever. There's this video about dementia, and not to take this particular medicine or this medicine that has this chemical, whatever it is in it. And the reason I looked at it was because they've spoken the curse of dementia on my dad, which he does not have. But I felt to send it to my mom because for her benefit too, And there are different kinds of categories of medicines that has this particular thing in it. Anyway, so I sent it to my mom, and I said, I felt to send this to you. And then that was a couple days ago, and she finally responded to me today. She said, thanks. She says, I'm checking through all our medicines. And so I thank you, Lord, that through this you're going to show mom, Lord, you're going to make it even more resounding, loudly understood to her, Lord, that she has even less trust, less faith in doctors and medicines, Lord, through this, that she has a greater understanding like never before, about that, you take a medicine, almost every medicine has a bad side effect that causes something else. And so I thank you, Lord, for showing her this, and also the any medicines that they might be taking that causes this. And I thank you, Lord, that she would correlate that to everything else, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for bringing my mom and dad both to faith and believing in you for healing, Lord, and not doctors and medicine. And I thank you, Lord, they're delivered from pharmakia and witchcraft and all that stuff, Lord. And they've got bold faith to believe you, Lord. And they are healed, and they are delivered and restored in every way. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, Julie.
I want to pray something too that was coming to my mind. You remember years ago when we got that revelation, that one video that Bill Gates had done about that, the fun vax, and how it was supposed to dummy down everybody and, and just, anyhow. Heavenly Father, I just praise you, God, that you're in control and you gave us authority over these kinds of things, Lord. And we bind that those spirits of the dummying down, the control, the manipulation that's going on, the what's the word? Help me, Lord. The control and the manipulation of the mind and all these things, and what they're doing to put fear and all these sicknesses and diseases, and pointing people to pharmakia and all that they're doing to make people sick. We bind all that and cast it down. I thank you, Lord, for helping people to come out of this deception, Lord, that has been put on the multitudes, Lord, that they put their faith in you in place of putting their faith in man, and going to the world for help first, where your word is so, if they read your word, it says over and over again how much, that you will bless your people and you won't put the curse on them. There's just so much of those things, and how Jesus healed everybody. And you would just give grace, Father, for people to seek you for the first, our help comes from you, whatever it is we're struggling with, whatever it is we're sick with, that we first come to you, Lord. And all of this manipulation of the spirit realm and the manipulation through the media and all their brainwashing and the Project Mockingbird and all these things that have happened, Lord, we cast it all down. We break that power off of our family, our friends, all of your elect. And I thank you, Lord, to expose all of this stuff so very soon, Lord, and people are going to just be crying out in repentance, Lord, for what they have been doing, and they get the revelation that they believed all of this in place of trusting you. And I thank you, Lord, for the outcry of repentance coming to your ears, and you will grant them that gift, and they will turn to you with all of their hearts, Lord, and learn to trust you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace to heal these people, Lord, when the time comes, Lord, whether it's through the med beds, whether it's because of your mercy. It is your mercy that you would do that from all the stuff that they've caused people to be sick with, through their poisoning us in various ways, through the water, through the air, through the food, through all of the garbage and poisons they put in food and calling it food and it's not. And the obesity and just the sicknesses and diseases that come into our bodies because of the curse and because of what man has done. I thank you, Lord, for repentance. I thank you for turning things around in a great revival. God, thank you, Lord. We pray for revival. We pray for revival in our own hearts. We pray that you bring that revival, Lord, and pour it out here in the United States, God, on the young ones, on the children, on the teenagers, this last generation, these young kids, Lord, and fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your Holy Ghost, Lord, that they would know that there's such a difference in you and what they're seeing in the church. They will turn to you, God. This gift comes from you, Lord, and we pray for that gift. We pray with all of our hearts, Lord, that you do a great move of your spirit in Jesus' name and turn hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of children to the father. We ask for more grace, God, more grace. Pour out your spirit of grace upon us all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Y'all hear a good song? Or y'all want to hear the one I got picked out? You'll like it. Let's see here.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. The cross before me, the world behind. Decided
Hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray right now for all the Christians in Muslim countries, in communist countries, and all of those countries that don't like Christians. And we praise you, Father, for bringing them through, giving them the faith to believe that you will protect them and guide them and lead them into repentance over there. Not only repentance, Lord, that it would be a revival in those countries in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father, for your protection upon them, that the blood of Jesus covers every one of them because they not turning back. They are following you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. All right, Missy.
Can you put the link of that in the chat, please?
Sure.
I'm not
If I had
sure
it back up,
if
I went ahead and closed it out. It just, I have decided to follow Jesus in YouTube. That's,
okay.
it'll come right up. Yep, and all of the other ones behind it. That's Reverend Adams, I think. Sings that. I can't remember his first name. I can't hear you.
That's because my microphone is on top of my head. I'm sorry. I can put a link in the chat for that
Okay.
song.
Good. Good. Thank you. That's a good song. You like that, Missy? That's a simple song, Debbie. That's a simple song. It's easy to learn. All you need is a bass drum. hint, 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 hint. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I can see me strapped around my back, have in front of me. That song just reminds me of something that David shared. I've been thinking about this a few times today. I think it was on this last broadcast, what, Wednesdays, yesterday? I
Yesterday,
think it was that one, where he's talking about how we're all one. Jesus said we are one. And he didn't just mean just right here. But we're one with all those all over the world who are Christians and believers in Jesus Christ. We are one with them. We are brothers and sisters, and we are one. And then he mentioned about how, but yet we got Christians that are wanting to, go fight. They're joining with our country and go fight against other countries where there's other Christians are doing the same thing, and they're maybe killing each other off. I thought, oh, this is horrible. That's terrible. So I thought, oh my goodness, I just wanted to pray about that. Because they just don't have the revelation. They don't have revelation at all, understanding that they could be shooting another believer and, or killing some kill them somehow, and having a part somehow. And so I think it's a really important thing to pray about, that God would really move in the hearts of his people to get this revelation and to not want to do that. So I want to pray for that. I was thought about my son, J Judah. He went to over there, he went to oh, I don't know where it was, Afghanistan. And he said, "Well, I'd do it again." Just a few weeks ago, I was talking to him. He said, "I'll do it again." So I haven't, really encouraged him and said, "Oh, it's so great thing you did. What a great thing you did, Jude. I just don't do that." But I wonder, why don't you pat me on the back or something, But so anyway, I like Lord. I just pray, Lord, that people in our family, sons and fathers and just the males in our families, God, that have this glorified thing, Lord, of just being glorified to do this, and to go and join and just fight against probably other believers, Lord. I just pray you give them a revelation of what the word says, Lord, that we are one, and we're one with those on the other side, and even on those in the countries that we're fighting against, Lord God. I pray that you would bring that revelation to them, Lord. They would have that understanding, Lord, and they would fear you, Father God, and know what your word says about doing that, even about even lifting up the sword, Lord. And you have what you say about that, God. I just pray that you will even give us opportunities to speak to people about this, Lord God, and you'd open the door that we could have talks with people and families or just someone we run into, and let them know how it's so against the Lord's way, and that you would just use what we have to say, Lord, to open up their their minds, their understandings, the truth of your word, Lord God, and how important it is to obey that word, Lord God, and allow bring a curse upon them, God, and especially to want to bring harm to another believer, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you can to begin a great movement, Lord, among your Christians, Lord God, to get this revelation in Jesus' name. Pray and thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Y'all remember the story behind that song, don't you? I think I played it a couple of weeks ago. Okay. My internet is not unstable. You lying devil, get off my computer. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? I'd like to share a little something if I could. It's called The Truth About Speaking in Tongues. And what it is that, how many of you have heard, can you hear me? Are you having trouble hearing me? You're not having any, okay, good. Thank you, Ben. I see Andrew moving his head back and
loud
forth.
And clear.
Okay, good. All right. This is the story of Catherine Kuhlman that died and went to heaven, and the Lord showed her about tongues, taught her about tongues, informed her about tongues, and it's real good. She said, "I stepped out of his, and I'm gonna skip around here. I stepped out of his body." Out of this body, and in an instant I was standing in the presence of the King of Glory. She said, "Let me tell you, when you come face to face with Jesus, everything changes. There was no fear, only overwhelming love. A love so pure, so radiant, felt like liquid fire coursing through my spirit. His eyes, all those eyes, they saw straight through me, past every pretense, every religious act, every half-hearted prayer." And then he spoke, not with words that entered my ears, but with truth that bypassed flesh and bone and went straight to the depths of my soul. He said, "My child, I have something to show you, something about the gift I gave my church, the gift of tongues." Now, I thought I knew about speaking in tongues. I had prayed in the Spirit for years. Felt the sweet release of heavenly language, the joy of a heart too full for human words. But in that moment, Jesus lifted the veil, and what he revealed shattered every small box I had put this sacred gift in. You see, many of us treat tongues like a spiritual badge, something to prove we've been baptized in the Spirit, something to stir up in prayer meetings, something to make us feel holy. But Jesus showed me it's so much more. It is a weapon, a key, a divine frequency that unlocks realms of power we barely tapped into. I saw, oh, I wish I could make you see what I saw, she said. Angels moving at the sound of spirit-filled tones. Demons trembling, strongholds crumbling. I saw prayers in tongues weaving through the heavens like lightning striking targets on earth with precision that no human mind could calculate. And then Jesus looked at me with such intensity and said, "This gift is not for show. It's not for pride. It's for war. And it's for my glory." And just like that, I was back. I was back in this body, back in this world. But nothing would ever be the same because now I knew, now I had seen. And I couldn't unsee it. Oh, child of God, if only you knew what hangs in the balance when you open your mouth and let the Spirit pray through you. The enemy doesn't fear your opinions, your arguments, your well-rehearsed sermons. But he flees at the sound of heaven's language pouring through a surrendered vessel. Are you ready to hear what else he showed me? Because what comes next will shake you to the core. I must tell you, when Jesus pulled back the curtain and showed me the real power behind this heavenly language, it was as if scales fell from my spiritual eyes. We've been playing in the shallow waters when God has called us to swim in the depths. So many of us have been taught that speaking in tongues is just a little devotional exercise, a private prayer language to make us feel closer to God. And oh yes, beloved, it does edify the soul, glory to God, the scripture says so. But oh, if that's all you think it is, you barely scratched the surface of what God intended. Jesus took me by the hand and said, let me show you what this gift was truly meant to do. And I saw in the spirit a great war, not with flesh and blood, but in the unseen realms. And there, glistening like a sword forged in heaven itself, was the gift of tongues. And every time a believer opened her mouth in faith, that sword flashed with divine fire, cutting through darkness, breaking chains, releasing angels into battle. I watched as prayers uttered in unknown tongues hit their mark with perfect precision. Situations shifting, hearts awakening, miracles unfolding, all because someone yielded to the Spirit and prayed beyond their own understanding. Do you realize what this means when you pray in tongues? You're not just mumbling sweet nothing to the sky. You're releasing the perfect will of God into the earth. The Bible says he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Dear heart, divine strategies, hidden breakthroughs, answers to prayers you haven't even thought to ask yet. And then Jesus showed me something that nearly brought me to my knees. He let me hear just for a moment what those tongues sounded like on heaven's side. It wasn't just random syllables. It was the very language of heaven. Intercession straight from the throne room, perfectly aligned with God's will. Romans 8 and 26 came alive before my eyes. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, but they can be uttered through you. When you let the Spirit pray through you, you're partnering with heaven in a way that transcends human limitation. Now, some common misconceptions debunked. Now, listen closely, because here's where the revelation turns urgent. Jesus showed me that the enemy has done everything in his power to cheapen this gift, to make it either a point of pride or a source of confusion. Some treat it like a party trick. Some fear it. Some fake it. And all the while, the church is missing one of the most powerful weapons in her arsenal. Folks, this is not about emotionalism. This is not about proving you're spiritual. This is about warfare. This is about victory. When you pray in the Spirit, you're tapping into the mind of Christ, bypassing every demonic blockade and releasing heaven's agenda into your life, your family, and your nation. Oh, if only you could see what I saw. If only you could grasp the magnitude of what God has placed in your mouth. This gift is not just for you. It's for such a time as this. Are you ready to wield it like never before? Because what I'm about to share next will leave you trembling at the responsibility and the glory of this sacred trust. Oh, precious ones, I must tell you, there is a hush in heaven over what I'm about to share. for when Jesus pulled back the veil and showed me the state of his church concerning the sacred gift, I wept. I wept because what should be a mighty river of divine power has become in many places a stagnant pool of confusion, even deception. The Lord took me to a great gathering, what should have been a mighty move of his spirit. And there amidst the worship, I saw it. Men and women speaking in tongues, but something was terribly wrong. The words were empty. The fire was missing, and the angel stood still. And then I heard the voice of Jesus trembling with holy grief. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Beloved, not every tongue spoken in our churches today comes from the Holy Spirit. Some are learned. Some are imitated. Some are even demonic counterfeits designed to discredit the true gift. Jesus showed me how some have turned this sacred language into a performance, a way to prove their spiritual, to gain approval, to fit in with the crowd. Others treat it like a magic chant, thinking if they just repeat sounds long enough, God will be impressed. Oh, the tragedy. I saw pulpits where leaders encourage people to just start making sounds until something takes over. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need our help to fake it. The true gift comes from surrender, not striving, from the overflow of the Spirit, not the force of the flesh. And worst of all, I saw places where people were actually being taught how to mimic tongues as if it was some learned behavior rather than a sovereign act of God. Then Jesus took me to Matthew 7, where he warned, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. And he showed me that some who are most confident in their spiritual gift, even tongues, will be the most shocked on that day when they stand before him. But here's what broke me completely. Jesus showed me how this misuse has caused many sincere believers to reject the genuine gift altogether. They've seen the counterfeit. They've witnessed the fleshly displays, and they've thrown out the baby with the bathwater. The enemy has used our carelessness to rob an entire generation of one of God's most powerful gifts. O child of God, we must return to purity. The true gift of tongues is never about drawing attention to ourselves. It's never about proving we're spiritual. It's never about emotional hype. And the real thing always, always brings glory to Jesus, bears the fruit of the Spirit, and aligns with God's word. The Lord showed me that in these last days, the difference between the true and the false will become even more stark. There will be those who flow in genuine power and those who settle for empty imitation. And the dividing line won't be denominational labels or theological camps. It will be the condition of the heart. Are you willing to let him search your heart right now? Because what comes next will shake everything you thought you knew about the Spirit's power. My dear friends, I must take you deeper into realms where human wisdom fails and only the Spirit of God could lead. For when Jesus showed me what truly happens when we pray in tongues, I saw with spiritual eyes what most never glimpse in a lifetime. This is no casual gift. No mere exercise in devotion. It is the very artillery of heaven unleashed against the forces of darkness. I was shown a vision of a believer, just an ordinary saint like you and me, kneeling in prayer. And as they began to speak in tongues, something extraordinary happened in the unseen realm. Their words became like living fire, shooting upward like lightning toward the throne. But then, oh, this is glorious, those same words came rushing back down as divine command, striking with precision against enemy strongholds. Demons that had stood defiant moments before now scattered in terror, for they recognized the language of heaven's court being decreed upon the earth. And then the Lord opened my understanding to Romans 8 and 26 in a way that set my spirit ablaze. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But, oh, they can be uttered through you. When you yield your voice to the Holy Spirit, you become a conduit for the perfect will of God to crash into impossible situations your natural mind doesn't need to understand. Your spirit is partnering with heaven in warfare that transcends human strategy. I saw a mother praying in tongues over her wayward child, and with each utterance, angelic reinforcements were dispatched to intercept the enemy's plans. I watched as a businessman worshiping in his car during lunch break released tongues that dismantled demonic assignments against his workplace. Every syllable was a hammer blow against darkness. Every breath a divine alignment with purposes too wonderful for mortal minds to conceive. Then Jesus showed me something that will forever change how you pray. He revealed that when we speak in tongues, we're not just praying general prayer, we're hitting specific targets. That sickness targeted, that financial bondage targeted, that generational curse targeted with precision no human prayer could achieve. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be prayed, even when we see through a glass darkly. But here's what grieved me most. I saw countless believers sitting on this weapon like it's a decorative pillow rather than the nuclear arsenal it truly is. We have access to the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. For who hath known the mind of Christ that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, to the very intercession of the Spirit. And yet we leave it dormant while the enemy runs rampant through our families, our cities, and our nations. Oh, saints of God, can't you see the enemy isn't afraid of our opinions? He's not afraid of our conferences, our theological debates. But he trembles when ordinary believers open their mouths and release the untainted language of heaven. And this is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And he wasn't boasting. He was surviving. He was overcoming. He was tearing down strongholds no human wisdom could touch. Then the Lord whispered this to my spirit. Tell them the battles they're losing are the ones they're not fighting in the spirit. Are you ready to see your prayers become weapons that shake the very gates of hell? Because what I'm about to reveal will show you how to wield this gift with earth-shaking authority. But, beloved, I feel the very heartbeat of God as I share this next revelation with you. And that's how to embrace the true power of tongues. For what I'm about to unveil is one of the most neglected, most powerful dimensions of speaking in tongues. We've been content to keep this gift locked away in our prayer closet when Jesus intended it to thunder through our congregation with prophetic fire. The Lord showed me a scene that broke my heart. It was a church gathering where someone began to speak in tongues. And immediately the people grew uncomfortable. Some shifted in their seats, others glanced at their watches. A few whispered, "Not again," and then without waiting, without expecting, without even attempting to seek an interpretation, they moved right along with their program. But in the spirit, I saw something entirely different. I saw angels standing at attention, heaven leaning forward, and the Holy Spirit grieving. For in that moment, a message from the throne had been cut short. Then Jesus took me to 1 Corinthians 14 and 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. And suddenly the puzzle pieces fell into place. Tongues plus interpretation equals a prophecy. Of course, this whole time we've been sitting on a gold mine of divine communication, treating it as little more than a curious sideshow. I was shown a vision of what happens when tongues are properly interpreted in the assembly. The words spoken in the heavenly language carried divine encryption, secrets about coming moves of God, warnings about hidden dangers, specific strategies for breakthrough. When interpreted, these tongues became like a coded message from heaven's war room being decoded for the saints. The atmosphere crackled with the electricity of God's immediate purposes being revealed. And here's what shocked me most. Jesus showed me that many of our dry seasons, our stalled revivals, our unanswered prayers exist because we silenced this channel of divine communication. We've grieved the Spirit by treating tongue as either a personal prayer language alone or as something to be rushed through in public gatherings. We've forgotten that when Paul said, "Do not forbid to speak with tongues," in 1 Corinthians 14 and 39, he was warning us against exactly what we've done. The Lord then reveals something that will change how you view every tongue spoken in your presence. He showed me that when someone speaks in tongues in a gathering, it's not random. It's a divine appointment. Somebody, someone in that room has the interpretation. It may come through the same person or through another. But the key is expectation. We've stopped expecting God to speak through this gift, and so we've shut down one of heaven's clearest megaphones. Oh, dear ones, can you imagine what would happen if we reclaimed this lost art? If instead of rushing past tongues in our services, we waited in holy expectation. And if we created space for the Spirit to not only give the utterance, but also the interpretation, we would see the book of Acts explode in our midst with prophecies, with direction, with divine strategies that would send the enemy into full retreat. But there's more. Something so sacred, it brings me to tears as I share it. Jesus showed me that when we speak in tongues publicly, and then interpret, we are literally building a bridge between heaven and earth. The tongues ascend as incense before the throne, and the interpretation descends as fire from the altar. This is why Paul said prophecy edifies the church, because it brings heaven's perspective into earth's reality. The hour is too late, the stakes too high for us to continue business as usual. God is calling us to recover this sacred rhythm, to speak, to listen, to interpret, and to obey. The enemy has fought so hard to keep this truth buried because he knows, oh, how he knows that when the church rediscovers the prophetic power of tongues with interpretation, No gate of hell will be able to stand against us. Are you ready to become a part of a company that doesn't just speak mysteries, but unveils them? Because what comes next will show you how to step into this dimension with holy boldness. And my dear precious ones, as I come to this final revelation, my hands tremble and my spirit burns within me. For what Jesus showed me next carries both a solemn warning and the most glorious invitation. The Lord took my face in his hands, and with eyes full of fire and mercy, he spoke words that echo through eternity. Tell my people the time for playing church is over. The hour is too late for counterfeit gifts and empty performances. I'm calling my bride to walk in the authentic power of my spirit. I was shown a great sifting coming to the church, a divine separation between those who use spiritual gifts as religious ornaments and those who wield them as weapons of war. The Lord showed me gatherings where the gifts operated in pure power, where tongues erupted like volcanic praise, where interpretations cut straight to the heart, where demons fled at the sound of heaven's language. But then he turned my gaze to other assemblies, places where the gifts were either feared or faked, where form had replaced fire, where people cared more about being seen as spiritual than being surrendered to the Spirit. And then Jesus spoke words that shook me to my core. Many stand in pulpits giving false demonstration. Many in pews mimic what they've heard others do. But I look at the heart. I know who draws from my spirit and who draws from the flesh. Beloved, we've created entire theologies to explain away our powerlessness, when what we really need is repentance. We've manufactured experiences with what God demands is authenticity, excuse me. The Lord showed me that in these last days, there will be two unmistakable signs of genuine tongue, fire and fruit. The fire of God's presence that purifies even as it empowers, and the fruit of transformed lives that proves the gift's authenticity. Got that out right then, praise God. No more will it be enough to simply speak in tongues. We must become living proof of what those tongues accomplish. And when we pray in the Spirit, strongholds should crumble. Captives should be freed. And Christ should be magnified. And Jesus opened the book of Acts before my spiritual eyes and said, this is the standard, not your denominational tradition, not your comfortable routine. When my early church spoke in tongues, cities were shaken. Sinners fell under conviction. And my gospel spread like wildfire. Why have you settled for less? Oh, how we've domesticated what God intended to be dynamite. We've turned Pentecost into a doctrine to debate rather than a power to demonstrate. But here's the glorious hope. Jesus didn't show me these things to condemn, but to compel. He's issuing an urgent invitation to return to the purity and power of the early church. He's calling us to repent of all fakery and fear, whether we've pretended or prohibited. Both are sin. Seek the genuine gift, not for show, but for surrender, not for pride, but for his presence. Use it as he intended in warfare, in worship, in witness, until his kingdom comes. The Lord then gave me a vision of what's coming, a company of believers who will walk in such authentic power that their very speech will carry heavenly weight. And when they pray in tongues, hospitals will empty. And when they interpret, governments will tremble. And when they prophesy, entire regions will turn to Christ. This isn't hyperbole. This is our inheritance. But the time for deciding is now. Jesus showed me two paths before the church. One where we continue in half-heartedness and see increasing deception, or another where we embrace full surrender and see unprecedented glory, and the choice is ours. And as I came back from that heavenly encounter, one phrase burned in my spirit. The same words John the Baptist cried, the same plea Jesus echoed, the same call that rings through eternity. This is in Matthew 3 and verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. For the king is coming and he's looking for a church armed with the real, the raw, and the authentic power of his spirit. Glory be to God. Could y'all hear all that? I hope it edified you, encouraged you.
That was really good, Michael.
I couldn't hardly hear you.
I'm sorry. I said
That's
that
okay.
was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, Missy, I'm sorry.
Who was that again?
Catherine Coleman. That was years ago.
I thought that's what you said. I didn't,
yeah.
I was like, did I hear correctly? Yeah, okay. Do you have that you can send it out to us? Because I would love to just... That was awesome.
Yeah. I've got the ice cream bucket ready. Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll send it. Is everybody want it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I'll send it to everybody.
That was yep. compelling.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll just
so
send
how
it
do
to
we
everyone.
How do we get there from here?
Do what the Lord said. Do what the Lord said. You use the tongues as a. I'll use it as a spiritual opening. And I praise God and pray in the Spirit before I do anything. And then allow the Lord. I'm still asking the Lord to help me to interpret my gifts of tongue. It happens sometimes, but not when I like for it to. But it's as he wills. But yes, thus, from what she's telling us, tongues is a mighty, mighty force of God that we ought to be utilizing in our warfare against the enemy. And corporately too. We should be doing it corporately too. I've been in churches where they do it all the time. And they have words of prophetic words coming for after them. You know, somebody will get in tongues, stand up, give the tongue, and somebody else get up and they'll give the interpretation of the tongue. That is for us. That's the prophetic word straight from the throne of God for the church. I may mute Debbie. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was just thinking how, you know, the praying in tongues is part of the armor of God. It's part of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. That's just one scripture about it. You know, yeah, we're supposed to edify ourselves with it because we need it, you know. And I remember going back sometimes and just, you can go on the UVM website and just, or even on the YouTube channel, and the audios that we have on praying, you know, the Holy Spirit in tongues. You can search those things because sometimes we just need those reminders, you know, and how powerful it is, and other people's testimonies and that kind of stuff. Because, you know, it's the enemy wants to wear us down. He wants to get us distracted, and he wants to discourage us or get us forgetful or think we're too busy or I don't feel like it or you know, I think all of us go through that at times, you know. So, Lord, fill us up. Fill us
Amen.
up and revive us and remind us that it's an awesome gift and powerful gift and help us to utilize it a lot, Lord, and that we are doing, you know, damage in the kingdom, you know, when we pray in tongues. And if I can, you know, if you can all give us, Lord, all of us a vision like you did, Catherine, and just help us to see in the spiritual realm the awesome thing that you're doing with that gift through us. And it's for the body. I remember one of the my early years of after getting saved and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and getting the gift of tongues, the Lord woke me up, you know, in the middle of the night, and I came out here in the living room, sat in my chair, and started praying in tongues. And I just asked him, it's like, well, who am I praying for? I just felt like to ask, who am I praying for? And I just heard the name Jill. You know, I don't know who Jill is, but you know, I
Body.
don't know. But he was using me to pray for somebody, a sister named Jill. You know, I'm assuming a sister, right? Named Jill. So you just never know. You know, it might be for yourself, it might be for your family, it might be for the ministry, it might be for the nation. We just don't know. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts. Thank you, Lord, for the
Amen.
gifts. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not get complacent about it, and fire us up, Lord. Stir us up in the Holy Spirit, Lord, and help us utilize our gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. It's a powerful gift. I know that some people think that it's the least gift. In my opinion, I've always said this. I think it's one of the most powerful ones because you don't know how to pray for somebody. You just pray in the spirit for them and let God do the rest and expect things to happen when it happens. And just like she said, the Lord let her see in the spirit realm, what happens when you do pray in the spirit? It's just like the time when we was over at Sweetwater, we lived over there. We had all those angels just messing around, you know. They were like just standing around outside. They were flying around a little bit. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, they don't have anything to do. Said, y'all not praying. So we went to praying in the spirit. That's when they started going. They started going. They started getting their instructions straight from the throne room because of the tongue, the spirit language that we were speaking. And so we put them to work and we learned right then. Not that we kept up with it. You know, I think we've relaxed a little bit. I think we need to pick up a little bit on it. And then John Lake, he talks about tongues a lot. Lake talks about tongues. He said, man, that's somebody asked him, what's the power of his spirit? And he said, his tongue, speaking in the spirit. And I believe it. Okay, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share on tongues? Yeah, Barbara.
I have a small testimony.
Okay.
Well, it's big for me. On what you're saying about speaking in tongues, y'all remember that I was talking about my son who had schizophrenia, and he estranged himself from me for like 6 years, and I started binding up spirits real seriously. You know, I started binding up spirits and speaking in tongues, and I did this all week. And the following week there was a breakthrough. My daughter and I went over to see him at his apartment, and he responded positively, you know, towards me. Now, we're still not all the way there relationship wise, you know, but I mean, that was a breakthrough just by praying in tongues all week and seriously binding up all the spirits that I could think of associated with schizophrenia. And Yeah, I did damage to the enemy's kingdom there. And I'm still waiting on, you know, him to, you know, have a restored relationship completely. But there was a breakthrough there, and that was from praying in tongues all week and binding the enemy up. So praise God for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for teaching us to pray in the Spirit when we don't know how else to pray. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I got a little testimony. Last time I was in Arkansas, my daughter's dog chewed up my big Sony high dollar headset. I was just disgusted. I wanted to shoot the dog, just to be honest with you. Anyway, little ankle biter, you know. Anyway, I said, don't worry about it, it'll be okay. And I just threw it in the truck, brought it home, threw it over on the deal. And the Lord told me 3 days ago, I was looking through, I said, I've got to buy me another set of that. Because I like the noise canceling things of these, because I can go outside and weed eat if I have to do that. And I can listen to music. And anyway, I got to looking at it. And Brandy told me, he said, well, you can replace those ear cushions on there. That's what the dog had chewed up mostly, was the ear cushion. And it looked a mess. I mean, he tried to eat the thing. And I went on YouTube and found out how to take the thing off. It didn't look like anything on the inside was messed up. So I started praying. I said, Lord, I thank you that there's nothing wrong with this set of head, this set of Sonys. And so I charged it up. Took 2 days to charge it up. It was plumb down. That dog, he licked every piece of charge out of that thing. Anyway, I got it charged up, and I hooked it up. I saw it. I said, look at that thing. It hooked up to Bluetooth. Praise God. And so I put it on there without the ear cushion so I could hear, and it was working. I said, Lord, I got. And so I got online and bought me some ear cushions for $20. This thing was well over $200. Anyway, look like brand new. Look like brand new. Glory to God. And they work perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I can hear better with these because it drowns out all the outside noise. I can't hear somebody talking behind me. But I can see David through this camera if he comes in the door and sneaks in. But anyway, worked perfect. They worked perfect. So praise God. Now I can use my iPods when I walk. Yeah, I love that little dog. I sure do. I sure do. Okay, anybody else? By the way, I did call my daughter and I told her, I said, don't worry about that headset. I said, it's working fine. I said, I bought some new ear cushions for it. And you go ahead and kiss that dog, but when I come home, you put him in the closet so he can't get at anything. She laughed. So we had a good time of it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what. This little article that Kathy Cummins had I hope it encourages everybody to start praying in the Spirit more and bringing down these strongholds and doing the warfare that we need to be doing. I do. I hope we do it. And I hope, Debbie, that we do it in our book study too, a little bit. Every now and then. We've had some great times in that little book study at times. Some great times. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before we close out? Is there anything in there that caught your attention more than anything in that article? All right, Joe.
I like this. Oh, just a short thing is, yesterday I read my one of my old Bibles. I just have a look through it, and I came about this one piece. I don't know where I get it from, but it was about Adam and Eve. And it says in an article, why did, well, if, well, it's only his fault. He says, why did he take the rib out of Adam to make Eve or Eve? And he says, if it takes a head, it should be the same. It should be the same. Man should be authority. But why did it not choose the feet? It should not the woman to trample on a woman. But why did he take it out of a rib? Because it's under his arm and it's close to his heart. You understand what I said, Julie?
Tell me,
it's
Jimmy,
an interesting thought about it.
Yeah. I understand what you said. You're looking at one of your Bibles that you had. I don't know if it was a note you had written in there or something you had written out, but the question was, why did God take a rib out of Adam to make Eve and not something like, you know, a part of his foot or another part of his body? And it was because it's under the arm and it's close to his heart. That's why he took the rib. Did I get that, Joe?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you,
Awesome.
Julie.
Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
So why did God take the rib to create woman as opposed to just forming her through the dirt, like, you know, the elements of the ground, like he did Adam?
Later as one. Made him as one. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, you just kind of said it. It's like because they're one. They're like she is part of him. She is like made from him and not, you know, more of the soil. It's his bone of my, you know, how did he say it? This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Isn't that how he responded when he saw her? So, you know, and I think it has more spiritual meaning in in the New Testament too, but and then Jesus, when he was crucified, and they after he died, and the Roman guard took a sword and punctured him, he went through his rib. You know, he went through his ribs. You know, so there's some kind of connection there too. About I think there's something connection there too, because we're just like the bride and the man child. You know, Jesus and the bride being one. Because it's a spiritual thing, it's being connected. We're part of Christ, we're part of his body, we're right close to his heart. But yeah, there's because they're the two shall be one, and they're of the same person, the other half. I think Odin Hedrick had a lot to say about that in that his book too, I think, about
Who is that?
being one. Odin Hedrick.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
Odin H Hedrick,
Yeah.
didn't he have a lot to say about that too?
He had something to say about it. I don't remember what all he said, but yeah. I could say something, but I better keep my mouth shut. Make women subservient, maybe. I don't know. I
Mike,
shouldn't have said.
you always speak good things about us. You
Well,
always speak good
sure.
things about us in here.
I'm just kidding about that. Okay. Anybody else before we close out? We're getting close here. I thought it was an awesome article. And that's why I wanted to share it. I hope it encourages people to do more fighting with the tongues, the spirit, praying in the spirit. Because all you got to do is they say, Lord, pray through me for whatever, for the things that you want me to pray for. And just go ahead and pray. And the more you pray, the more you get done. And I'll tell you something else. As Lake said, he said, the more you, and other people since him have said, the more you pray in tongues, the more immunity you build up in your body physically. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for giving us that gift. And Lord, let it be something that we utilize in a way that would be pleasing to you, that it would glorify you and not us, and that we would utilize it, Lord, to bring down the strongholds and the enemy's camp and all of that stuff, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for that, to showing us through Catherine what it means, what it is, and how it operates, Lord, when we do pray in tongues in warfare. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you place it in everyone's heart to start doing it a lot more. Thank you, Father, for giving us that gift. And let it not be idle in our hands. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, saints, we'll see y'all. Thank you for being with us. Lord bless you.